Welcome to the Wealth Builders Podcast. This is a very special podcast because this is the 200th Wealth Builders Podcast. And I just want to thank all of you for being a part of it. This podcast is growing and growing and growing. And I know it's because, first of all, the content is what people want to hear, but also it's people like you that are sharing this. And we're so grateful. So Billy and Becky, just want to thank you for being a part of the Wealth Builders family and for making this 200th podcast possible. And I am joined today by these amazing friends, April and Colin Carr. Thank you so much for being a part of this.
Yes. Thanks for having us. Congratulations on 200. That's amazing.
Thank you. It's a great milestone, isn't it?
It is incredible. It's incredible to be a part of the Wealth Builders family, to be able to just hear the heart of the Father and share it with you guys today. And just so excited to be here for what the Lord is doing in this season.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. We're so thrilled to have you. So we were chatting earlier and I was sharing with them like, hey, this is what I want. I want to learn from them. I learned so much from you guys. But something that I've really noticed about you is you are, you're never victim to anything, if that makes sense. Meaning when I observe you, your family, one of the things that I see, many things, is that you are creating, or maybe you could say cooperating with God to have the quality of life that God has for you. And I know, you know, a lot of times people just sit back and they think life is just going to happen to them, but that is absolutely not the case for you. And I think there's so much in that that you can share to help us. Like, we see a life that we want, but what are the steps that you guys have taken that has really got you to the place where we're all looking at you going, one day I'll be like the cars.
Oh, that's amazing. Karen, what an incredible question. I love that because so often we see, you know, the fruit of something that we want. We want the promise in the promised land to happen overnight, but we don't recognize there's a process. God is a God of seed, time, and harvest. He builds precept upon precept. And so often people just see the end game and they want that, they long for it, but they never take, you, like you said, the steps to cooperate with the Lord. The Lord really called us to be, we talk about this continually, active participants, not passive observers. It's our job to get in the game, like you'll say, to take a step to cooperate with the Lord and the kingdom of God and the promises. And so what an incredible question. It's exciting to be a part of it. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I would start with one of my favorite quotes. It's one that I think a lot of people have heard of. It's a John C. Maxwell quote. And he says, if you want to change your life, you have to start with something you do on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. The secret of success lies in your daily habits.
Yes.
And so, you know, if we naturalize things and we were to say, let's look at the fundamentals of life. If you decided you may or may not sleep daily, you may or may not drink water, you may or may not eat, like you would say, well, I can't live my life. Like my body can't exist in that fashion. I'm going to be terrible at what I do. I'm going to be cranky, ornery, upset, frustrated, not feel great. It's no different spiritually. And that's why Jesus said, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Mm-hmm. And that's why he continually gave us parables and stories of things that were natural, trying to teach us spiritual truths in a natural manner. So, you know, for us personally, the very first thing that we would break down to is, if we are going to have any level of success in anything we do, we've got to have a spiritual foundation. And I know people would say, I understand that, but we do the best we can to protect that time, personally, in our individual lives and our family on a daily basis. And there's times when we get busier, we're traveling, or you're in a conference, but I mean, for the most part, it's not just the small amount of time. Like it's a lifestyle. It's good. And I can tell you personally, for me, my world doesn't operate if I don't have things that are part of it every day. Just like if you didn't drink water for a day or two, you would feel terrible. I have a pulse or a sensor on my spiritual walk, and I want to be led by the Spirit. If I'm not in the Word, if I'm not studying the Scriptures, meditating upon the Word, speaking the Word, trusting God for my daily bread, my daily promises, I don't operate the way that I'm supposed to. And we can get into a lot more, like, you know, micro as well. But that for us, we know if we're not in the Word, we know what it feels like. We've had seasons and we don't want anything to do with it. So our world starts with a very strong dedication. And it's, I always want to say this, it's not a work of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not doing anything to earn anything from God. We know it's a finished work. We're doing it as a response of faith.
Amen.
I mean, we've got a backyard that's chock full of gold, and we want to put as many shovels in the ground as possible to get as much as we can in that area. So for us, the spiritual walk, relationship with God, time in prayer, worship, you know, praying in the Spirit, those are things that are just not negotiable for us. And we have to be really intentional to protect those, because the world will try to throw us off our game plan in that area.
Totally. And actually, it's a little bit upside down, because when you make that commitment, there's probably things that are on your mind, like, I need to do this. So how did you kind of get past that, where, you know, there's a task list at work, there might be some things that you need to do around the house, but how did you get to that point where you're like, this is the non-negotiable, and actually get in that place and not think about all the things that are waiting for you to tackle?
Yeah, there's definitely that daily discipline, you know, disciplining just our thought process, taking anything that's not focused on the Lord captive, because we know that the more time we spend with the Lord, the more fruitful all of the other minutes of the day are going to be. We know that we're going to hear His voice. We're going to be led more effectively and efficiently in everything we do. Even we were young when I homeschool the kids, and so I'm teaching every subject. And it's funny, the kids could tell when my patience with math was waning. They say, she needs some Jesus time. Mom, we need to get patience. But they recognize the source. Colin and I recognize everything we have comes from our Father in heaven. It's about intimacy and hearing His voice, operating the gifts, growing a business, honestly, disciplining and training our children, you know, growing different markets and helping guide them in useful times, in useful resources and time for them. It all comes from spending intimate time with the Father. And so every day we've just made it not only a routine, but it's the overflow in the heart's desires to spend time with Him. We long to spend time with Him, because when we do, the whole day is fruitful. And we've lived where it's been like that vine disconnected, and it shrivels up. There's not the quick and witty ideas. We don't always have the answer in season and at the right time. But when we're connected to the Father, wisdom flows, revelation flows. When we're in a meeting, we're the yes man with the answer, because we're connected to the source who has the answers.
Awesome.
And so we really know everything is outside of us. It comes from the Father, and we're just the channel it's flowing through. And so we've just come accustomed to keeping that close to the chest. We don't get very far from our peace, and we don't get very far from His presence at all times. We just keep staying in the vine. We seek the kingdom. We never seek things. We are very cautious to seek the giver. We seek His kingdom, and supernaturally, God causes all of these things to come together in their right timing for us. So, and He's
really
no respecter of men. He does that for every one of His children, and even not His children. As we seek the kingdom and come to know Him, He's right there waiting with the fullness of the kingdom of God for us every day.
That's so good. Yeah. And I know too, that's got to give you shortcuts, you might say, to maybe that the business thing or something that's coming up.
Absolutely.
So in that, if you're in a situation where you are pressing forward, you're getting an idea in that time what God has for you. How do you blend? There's obviously natural things you need to do with that.
Yes.
What does that look like for you too?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that there's never enough time to get everything done. Like, you just have to come to grips with the fact that a lot of people, or most people, you never finish your list. Mm-hmm. You never finish everything you can do. You just have to make a conscious decision. This is what I'm going to work, and this is what I'm going to stop. And then, you know, I think it takes more faith to trust God for the time you give Him. And that's something that He spoke to us early on.
Yeah.
You know, I had a Christmas break one year where my phone kept ringing and I was trying to work from a distance. And this was like 15, 16 years ago, where internet wasn't good and the logging onto a remote system wasn't good. And the Lord just spoke to me one day and He said, you know, this is the impression I had. He said, you trust me for your eternal salvation, but you don't trust me enough with your work that you can actually rest during one of the most important weeks of the year.
Wow.
Not only with me and you spiritually, with the birth of my son, but also with your family and the grandparents and everyone. Like, you're supposed to be resting in me. Instead, you're off in the flesh trying to make it happen. So, we took that concept and we built upon that. But, you know, the reason God gave the Sabbath rest on the seventh day was because He wanted to show Himself more powerfully than the nations that worked 7 days. I mean, it's a response of faith to God's goodness. And so that doesn't mean that we don't work. It doesn't mean that we're not diligent in what we do. But you've got to determine, this is what I need for my spiritual walk. This is what I need for my physical walk when it comes to exercise or what it might be. This is the time I need for my professional development. This is the time I need for my family. And then you throw in all the other things that are just part of life. And then you figure out what you have left. And that might be 8 hours a day. It might be nine, it might be 10. And when you're on, you're on. But then you've got to just decide, I'm not going to let things interfere with those other concepts. It's the picture. Right. You put the biggest rocks in the bowl first, and then the smaller rocks, then eventually the pebbles, then the sand. If you flip it around, it doesn't work. You don't even have in there. So for us, I mean, being disciplined means that we put the most integral, important, life-giving things there. And I would say it's the same thing. Like if we're in town, we're going to be at church. You could say, well, we do enough ministry. That's, we're not going to church to receive. We're going to church to give. When it comes to conferences, we book our other work and even our travel and our personal life. We book that around the conferences because we know that we're going not only to be fed, but also to help feed other people. And so there's just certain things for us that are not negotiable. And again, it's, I keep saying this and it's really obvious, but there's, those are our water, our food, and our sleep in the spiritual realm. And really nobody would ever try to live without sleeping or eating or drinking water. It's the same thing for us. If that happens to be your spiritual diet, I don't see, again, I always say this thing, I don't see how you can't win in life if that's the foundation of your walk.
So good. And so you approach your day, just what I'm hearing, and you are, here's the things that are important. And despite maybe getting an urgent phone call or someone, you know, hey, I need you with this business thing, you have been able to manage your life in a way that you keep first things first.
Amen.
And April, I know you are a busy mom. You homeschool the kids. And I know from personal experience, you have to leave and drive them for soccer and all that. So how do you manage all of this and just be in ministry, be such a support for Colin with work? How do you look at your day with all this responsibility?
That's such a great question, Karen, because honestly, there's no shortage of busyness, but the Lord spoke to us a long time ago. I want what's best, not what's busy. Life is blessed.
Oh, that's a
He said, yeah, absolutely. He said, your life is busy, but it's blessed. It's not overflowing to where you can't contain it. And that's not the heart of the Father. He doesn't want to overwhelm
that's
us
good.
Day upon day. So as a family, we actually have decided, we've looked at, God, what's your call on our all four of us collectively and individually, and a family's here to support each other, to lift each other up, to find the gold and to cultivate the gifts. Our kids help sharpen us and vice versa. And so we've looked individually and collectively, what is God calling each of us to do? What are our gifts? What's the vision for our lives? And then we create a schedule that helps manage growth in those areas. And so, I mean, we have incredible opportunities for travel. We have an opportunity to take an amazing 2-week vacation. And the first thing the kids will say is, I want to make sure we're here for A, B, C, and D. And it has to do with the call, not only on their lives, but as a family. So we've decided as a whole, what are the big stones in our lives that are who we are, Christ in us, and how do we let Christ flow out of us?
So
that's our
good.
Biggest stone. How do we keep Jesus in the center? And then we build what's important for the callings for each other. Like my daughter has a gift of hospitality. And so that's not always the most convenient or the cheapest gift in the world, but she's an extravagant giver. It's like fire inside of her bones. And so we want to create an atmosphere where that gift grows and God can use it for his glory. So even when it's not convenient, when the Lord puts something on her heart, we change what our days look like to help support that gift and help it to flourish and grow for the body. And then same with my son in business. Some of the ideas that the Lord's given us have taken hours in finances and kingdom perspective to help create, you know, the structure it fits in, but we see the call in his life, and that's more important than maybe a soccer team or other things that might fall, you know, by the wayside that are pleasurable, but not really filled with purpose in every step.
Good.
They have their place, but we need to keep them in their proper order. And they've recognized the fruit added to our account into theirs and the growth when they're seeking kingdom, and they value it differently. They value building up their team and being leaders and helping the common goal, but it pales in comparison when they see the fruit of the kingdom and what it looks like when they're at church on Sunday, holding the doors and praying over people or bringing acts of service and serving children at church or whatever it is they're called to. They can feel the weight and the difference, and they are hungry for the delicacies of heaven, not the trinkets and toys of the world, because that's what they have a taste for. They've tasted and see that the God is good. And so we look at every opportunity as what's the Lord in, what is he speaking to us in the season? And that becomes the boulder for that.
That is amazing.
Yeah, that'd be added.
You know, in that too, there's a lot of demands that the world is saying is important. How have you navigated through that in both business and family, where you are like resisting the pressure of the world and you're just grabbing hold with faith to what God has?
That's great. Yeah, I mean, to the best of our ability, and we don't do this perfectly, but just what is the real result, or what is the significance of the decision? And there's so many things that our culture will pull us into that honestly has no eternal value. I mean, it's literally entertainment, or it's just satisfying the flesh. And ultimately, it's not going to last. It's not going to be there in heaven, and it's not going to make that big of a difference. And so we certainly have our opinions on what those things look like. You know, one of those is sports. I think sports can be great in their proper boundary. But I mean, if you were to take a concept like, let's say, like watching a TV show, and like, well, you know, our kids have to watch TV shows for 2 hours a night, 3 or 4 days a week, and then for a couple hours. And I mean, it's like, you would say, well, that's totally outside of what you think is valuable. Yeah. Sports can easily become an idol. Mm-hmm. Activities can become an idol. And again, it's not that those things don't serve a purpose. With the right moderation, all those things can be good. And yes, you can learn good things and you can develop character and so forth, but there's so many things that the world will push you into doing, where people they'll miss church for sports, they'll miss conferences for sports, they'll sacrifice family vacations for sports, they'll put their kids in terrible environments, and then, oh, it's developing character. And then you're kind of a dog chasing its tail in a lot of these things. Yeah. And so I don't have the perfect answer for everyone, but you know, you look at the way that society today tells you have to have your kids doing this, or you have to have your kids in five activities, and they have to be in this school, and it has to be private. And all those things I think are just maybe an idea and not the best idea. So,
and I think it comes out of lack of identity too. Is our kids? Our kids don't get their identity from sports teams or different idols that the world has set up. They get their identity from Christ. So when they're found and secure in who they are in Christ, when the turbulent times in the world or sports, you don't make a team, it really doesn't transfer to who they are as people. They're spiritual beings having a physical experience. Yes. They're not trying to satisfy the flesh to live this great physical experience. They realize who they are, who their source is. They've helped us establish what's important in life. Mm-hmm. So when they look at their lives, they recognize Christ the center, and everything else is an addition to, and it's a blessing if I'm living it out of the overflow. They know what it feels like to feel spiritually dehydrated, and they don't like that feeling either. Again, they've tasted God and His presence, and they want to be connected to that source. And anything that they do is out of the overflow and in addition to that personal relationship and knowing who they are in Him.
Even on the other side, the positive side, I mean, there's never an end to how many people you could call or text or encourage or pray for. There's at some point you can flip the coin over and you can get too far. And so, you know, we try to do the best we can, giving and serving as much as we can, but we also have to protect our personal time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even Jesus,
that's really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
He always had someone else that wanted ministry, and we're not putting ourselves in the same category by any means, but there's always something else you could do, or you can, the pendulum can swing to the other side as well, where you're always busy doing things, and you got to have a good balance of both.
Amen.
That is really helpful for people because they're thinking, if I just get out there and serve all the time, but that's not what God is asking us to do. What would you say to people that look, I can almost hear some people saying, yeah, but that's April and Colin. Mm-hmm. You don't know what my life has been like, or you don't know what I've been through.
Yeah.
What would you say about that? Because, everything looks perfect and you think like you just landed here, but you haven't.
No, not at all.
I think it's great if you have the ability to hear people's full story, because you can go back in time with April and I 15 years ago before we started our business, or 18 years ago before we were at Bible college, and there's not a single thing that we haven't had to work through that everyone else had to work through. We've been zealous without knowledge. We've been really tight financially. We've made bad financial decisions. We've had to figure out how to navigate all the things in life. We've had kids. We've started a business. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
So we're the product of, if people were to look at our fruit in certain areas, say that's great, or that's awesome, we're simply the product of taking the word of God, of learning who and applying it, learning the true nature of God, understanding our true identity in Christ, believing the scriptures at their word, that if you sow the word into your heart, it has to produce after its own kind. And then the other concepts, like just stewarding things, being diligent. Like when we work, we're not waiting for the Lord to take our hand and put it on the plow and then for him to push us behind. Like we believe that God blesses what we put our diligent hand to.
That's good.
And so for us, really, it's been a little bit of growth year upon year upon year. And, you know, the cumulative effect of it, it does add up. I mean, it's like an investment. It's like an interest investment. It keeps compounding and compounding. Mm-hmm. And eventually you look at it and say, man, that's a tremendous amount of money, or that's been a phenomenal return. But it just happens, you know, day upon day, upon week, month upon month, et cetera. So to me, it's just be consistent. I don't think there's any overnight success in any area. Right. And that's why I love when you see people like Andrew Womack and people that we look up to at a tremendous level. And you think, this guy's been doing the same thing for literally like 55 years.
It's
like, it didn't just happen. Him and Jamie have been laboring and stewarding and helping and loving people every day of their life for the last 55, 60 years. And if you're, you know, the question of how long will it take versus how far can I go? That's another John C. Maxwell quote that I absolutely love. How long will it take me to get here versus saying, if I'm truly committed to this and I dedicate my life to it, how far can we go together? Not how far or how fast can I get there? If you flip that question, it flips your perspective, and it changes the way you look at it. You're not impatient. You trust the system, you trust the process, and it just sets your eyes on the Lord versus on the actual outcome.
Wow, that's really helpful. And it's just, I was just thinking about, like, even with exercise, right?
Yeah.
It's not, you can't do it in a day.
Mm-mm. No, right? Absolutely.
You have to stay with it. And so I like that. You're just saying, just make the good choices today, and you will make progress and one day look back and see. Mm-hmm. Has that surprised you, April? Like, just your consistency, where the Lord has brought you, or what advice would you give us with that?
Such a good question, Karen, just because, I mean, I love when you say nothing's new under the sun. There's not one thing that the body of Christ or the world is not going through or experiencing that we're all not, you know, familiar with. And there's a quote that talks about, if you give up now, you'll look back 6 months from now and wish you were today where you would have been, right? And so often, same with working out, we give up. Gosh, we finally got to that place we were hoping to be, or financially, or with the Lord. And so giving up isn't going to help. And so one of the things that I think is a huge key, and we say this all the time, it's personal relationship with the Lord. There is nothing super duper about Colin and I or our kids. It's not some unique phenomenon. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. As we recognize who he is and we have relationship with him, we're connected to the vine, and that overflow is operating in our life. Over and over, the Lord says throughout scripture, who will believe the report of the Lord? This is not something unique. It's actually just believing God is who he said he is, and believing the promises of God, and then cooperating, co-laboring with him with those promises, either the rhema or the written word spoken. We continually go back to relationship. We know who we are in the natural or in the flesh. We have no good thing, but we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. And so again, that same thing works for everybody. God is no respecter of man. If you get in the word and get connected to the heart of the Father, he will make you look great. It's that simple. And religion is the only thing making it difficult, or our tendency to be A plus B equals C.
Yes.
We're trained from when we're kids. You do good, you get good. You do bad, you get, you know, bad. And so that's not the heart of the Father. When we connect into him through grace, he empowers us to live that abundant life. And every one of us are equal opportunity, you know, promise keepers and promise makers, meaning we all have the same access to the promises. There's not something extraordinary that sets us apart. We're simply seeking the kingdom. And that's what I want to encourage people. As you seek and we believe, so the word. When I'm falling short or thirsty for his presence, or maybe not hearing his voice the way I have, instead of getting discouraged and looking at what I did wrong, I go to the word and do what's right. I put the word in and I just keep sowing, because I trust what his word says. I don't trust me.
So
I trust what his word says. If I plant the seed, it's going to bear fruit and produce after its own kind. And so we live the principles and the truth of the word every day. And that's what bears fruit. That's what produces kingdom. That's what produces income. increase. It's the word of God at work and relationship. And I remember testimony and story after story, how the Lord has made us look great, like multi-million dollar ventures. He's made us look incredible simply by being connected. And he'll say, invest or don't invest. COVID's wow. coming. Don't buy that property. Time and time again, we're making decisions, not because we're great, but because we're connected to the one who is. So I hope that makes
that
good
is
sense.
Super
but he can
helpful.
Make us look great if we're connected to him.
That's super helpful. Yeah. And in that, I just heard that there, if you make a mistake, you guys, Colin, you talk about that a lot. April, I'm hearing that too, that you just have to press in to God, get over it. Don't be condemned or feel guilty and let it go. I was listening to Joyce Meyer one day. I just love her wisdom. And she was saying, she had behavior issues. You guys know her story. And she said she could not change her behavior until she stopped beating herself up for the mistakes.
Agreed.
And I think that is something that you guys have learned to do really well. And then in that, you know, you look back and it's like, wow, you know, my behavior or whatever that might be is changed, or the mistakes, I'll just learn from them and not get beaten up. Colin, you said something in one of the podcasts that is just coming to mind right now. And you were talking about when you make mistakes, right? Where how you run to the Father.
Amen.
And so can you just close us out a little bit to describe what that looks like? And if people are looking back on their life now and they're saying, I've messed up so much, I just don't think I have hope.
Yeah, I mean, we could extend this podcast for a few hours.
It's a great topic.
Let me, again, Jesus gave natural parable or natural analogies and parables, but again, there's nothing you're going to do in life successfully that's not going to require you to do it over and over and over again, and you're going to have things that don't work out. If you're playing baseball, you have to swing the bat. You're going to miss. You're gonna foul the ball, and it's going to hit the ground and hit you in the shins. You're going to get hit by the pitch. You're going to see balls come in and say, I should have swung. You're going to swing at stuff. You're going to say, what the heck was I doing swinging at that? There's no way around it. If you're a chef, you're going to burn the meal. Like there's no way around it. You have to be, number one, strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And know that God is continually seeing you for what you are capable of. When you take him at his word and you trust his promises, he's not interested in pointing out your sins. He doesn't have to point out your sins.
Good.
He doesn't have to bring up your past. He's not interested because we're not going to go back in time. Do we want to learn from our mistakes? There's no question. So this is not a you know, you have a free card to just make bad decisions and then be an idiot and treat people poorly. But you've got to get to the place where you're not going to become good at anything unless you keep doing it and doing it and doing it. You're going to learn from your mistakes. You're going to have good days, bad days. That's what develops the character. That's what develops the muscle memory. And so for me personally, when I make mistakes or I do the wrong thing, I do go to the Father and I do repent and I do acknowledge those things, because for me, it's a turning in a different direction.
Yes, amen. That's
good. If this is the plumb line and I find myself over here, just like you would get yourself back in the plumb line, to me, the repenting is saying, you know, Lord, whether I knew it or I didn't know it or I should have known it, take the variable. I don't want to be here. I want to get back here. So let's address that. And I want to get my heart back here first, because my body and my mind and my actions are going to follow my heart. So if I need to repent or say I'm sorry or acknowledge him trying to have told me something, I do that. And then I get right back into what I know is true. I cannot go back in time. I can't get tomorrow.
So
I can't get yesterday back. And so for me, it's being very strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's running boldly to the throne of grace to obtain grace and find mercy in my time of need. And then just continually focusing on who he says I am. God is not glorified in me wallowing in my mistakes. He's glorified in me taking the things that I've learned and then overcoming and then bringing success and life and victory into my future. There's no glory for God of you dwelling on your past. I know people like to, it makes them feel good, but that's not how God gets glory. God gets glory by taking the mistakes and then working them together for good. But he gets glory from fruit. How can we get ourselves back in a place where we fail forward, we're not looking at our past, and a joke was, but people are always trying to talk about their past. God is like, who cares? Let's just move forward in life. And again, there's not a single person who's ever accomplished anything of significance that doesn't just have this huge rap sheet of mistakes and errors and misses. And when you recognize that, that's why the Bible is so beautiful. It shows you the humanity of people and their flaws, not to embarrass them, but to encourage you. If God can work through this person, he can certainly work through you.
So good.
That is so good. I just really sense that there's people that are listening today that you really needed to hear this. And I think that there's people that are going to be able to move forward.
Amen.
April and Colin, because of what you have shared today, and start to, you know, look through that window of what God actually has for them.
Amen.
And that they don't have to be a victim to circumstances. But thank you so much for the way you have walked this through with us. Amen. What a blessing. This is like the perfect 200th episode of the Wealth Builders podcast. I do want to remind you of a couple things that are coming up. We've got the vacation rental intensive seminar for fun and for profit that's coming up in December. You really want to be a part of that. If you're interested in vacation rentals or you want to scale with vacation rentals, we're doing that with Bill Bronchek, and you can go to wealthbuilders.org. Go to events and get scheduled or registered for that. Also, we have got our 10th Wealth Builders Conference coming up in February of 2025. We're so excited about it, and we want you to be a part of it. So just go to that website again, wealthbuilders.org/events. So thank you again, both of you, for being a part of this. And thanks all of you. God bless you, and make it an amazing rest of your day.